Our text for today is Luke 14, 12 through 24, as read from the Message. The next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your friends and family and rich neighbors, the kind of people who will return the favor. Invite some people who never get invited out, the misfits from the wrong sides of the tracks. You'll be and experience a blessing. They won't be able to return the favor, but the favor will be returned. Oh, how it will be returned at the resurrection of God's people. That triggered a response from one of the guests. How fortunate the one who gets to eat dinner in God's kingdom. Jesus followed up. Yes, for there once was a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servant to invite the guests, saying, "Come on in, the food's on the table." Then they all began to beg off, one after another, making excuses. The first said, "I bought a piece of property and need to look over it. Send my regrets." Another said, "I just bought 5 teams of oxen and I really need to check them out. Send my regrets." Yet another said, "I just got married and need to get home to my wife." The servant went back and told the master what had happened. He was outraged and told the servant, "Quickly, get out into the city streets and alleys. Collect all who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits and the homeless and the down and out. You can lay your hands on and bring them here." The servant reported back, "Master, I did what you commanded and there's still room." The master said, "Then go to the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of those originally invited is going to get so much as a bite at my dinner party." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. How many of you are Downton Abbey fans? There's a few in here, quite a few. Well, I was late coming to the Downton Abbey bandwagon. I think it was probably just about a year or two before the last season, and a lot of my friends kept talking about it and looking forward to it, and of course then began to grieve before the last season even arrived because they were going to miss watching Downton Abbey. So I finally decided to break down and watch Downton Abbey. And you guessed it, I got hooked. It drew me in. And so I enjoyed watching this series about the discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots in Great Britain, the aristocracy of Britain, and then how they lived and how those who worked for them lived or did not live. You know how the series went, for those of you that watched it, and for those of you that didn't, you probably heard enough about it, or you are familiar enough, at least, with that whole kind of atmosphere in which everything is about who can do something for you, who your relationships are and how they benefit you, who is supposed to be in your circle of friends and who is not supposed to be in your circle of friends, who you can have in your family, who you cannot have in your family. If you remember, one of the daughters fell in love with one of the drivers, and that caused a big stir. This whole air of the haves and the have-nots, the rich, the poor, the wealthy, the aristocracy, the servants. Biblical times were much like that, if not worse. There were then also the haves and the have-nots, and it was about who you knew and who you did not know. And if you'll remember back in the Old Testament, especially you remember Solomon, he married not so much because he loved people, but because he needed to have that alliance for military purposes or political purposes. So he had all of these wives and concubines, not because he cared about these women, but because they could do something for him. And that carried on into Greco-Roman times, when people looked at others for what they could do for them. Now, yes, there were people who had honest relationships, who loved each other and cared for one another. But more often than not, it was about how someone could scratch your back and you could then scratch their back in return. Now, today we like to think that doesn't occur, don't we? But it does, doesn't it? We still see that in certain circles. We see it in businesses. When we go to a dinner party that is business related, we want to kind of be around somebody because, well, we might be able to strike up a deal with them. And in that deal, they might be able to do something for us if we do something for them in return. We see it in families sometimes because we think, well, we want to have a relationship with this family over here, and so let's encourage our daughter to date their young son, or vice versa, because wouldn't that just be a beautiful thing for our two families to come together? It still happens, folks. In college campuses, sororities and fraternities, those relationships that form there. I was not in a sorority, but I lived on a sorority hall, and that was enough for me. Because our room was there at the corner. There was a kind of an angle in the hallway, and so our room was a big room, and because our room was not one of the sorority rooms, all of the sorority people would come to our room and complain about each other, and then turn right around and walk out the door and see that person they were just complaining about walking down the hall and just run and hug them and be all lovey-dovey with them. And I thought, oh, and it was sickening. It was really kind of sickening. But that kind of, I need to have this relationship because it helps me in what I want to do in life. Today we hear a passage in which Jesus is at a dinner party. And it's a dinner party of one of the Pharisees who is a leader in the Pharisees. Prior to what we read today, the guests at this dinner party have been trying to get in the seats of honor. They've been trying to get as close to the host as they could. And Jesus instructs them in doing so, as he sees them doing so, not to look for the seat of honor, but to put themselves at the lower end of the table, so that when the host then calls them forward, then they are honored by the host, not that they should honor themselves, to have that spirit of humility about them. And he tells them that they will be rewarded, not in this lifetime, but they will be rewarded in the life to come. In fact, he then goes on to tell them, to instruct the host, you really don't need to invite your friends or your family or your neighbors or your business associates. Why? Because of what we just talked about. They're going to expect something from you, and you expect something from them. Instead, go out in the highways and the byways and invite the misfits. In other words, those people that you would not normally think about inviting to your dinner, to your home. Those people that you would not even want someone to see you sitting down in public and having a meal with them. Go and invite them to come. And then again, you will be rewarded in heaven for that. And thus today's passage picks up. One of the guests talks about how great it will be to be in the kingdom of God, to feast at that table at the kingdom of God. And then Jesus launches into a parable about inviting the outsiders. The host has invited all of these people, the friends, the family, the do-gooders. And when it comes time for the meal, they all make an excuse why they can't come. And in his anger and his frustration, he instructs the servants to go out and to invite anyone who looks like they might be hungry. Go find anyone who has hunger written on their face and invite them to come and to sit at my table. And when they do, they will be welcome. But those that I invited who did not come, they'll never have anything to eat from my table. Now imagine how that might have been received by those gathered at the Pharisee's house that day. What would you have thought? What would you have thought if Jesus had said to you, I want you to go out and to invite the people sleeping at the bus station to come have dinner at your house? What if Jesus had said to you, I want you to go out and I want you to invite someone who does not even believe in me to come and to have dinner at your house? What if Jesus were to say to you, I want you to go and I want you to invite that person that you had a fight with the other day over politics to come and have dinner at your house? That one hurt, obviously. I heard some giggles. Tense topic, isn't it? What if Jesus were to say to you, I want you to go out and invite that person that you think is not even supposed to be here because they're here illegally, and I want them to come and to have dinner at your table? What would you do? Isn't that what Jesus is telling us to do? Isn't that what Jesus is asking us to do? Granted, all of us enjoy having people come to our homes sometimes for meals, to sit down at a table together and to feast together and to share together, to laugh together, to tell stories, to have memories. We've been talking about pulling up a chair and sitting at the table. That's the reason we have this dinner table here as our altar for this time. But most of us are quite uncomfortable when we think about sitting down at table with someone that is a complete stranger. Especially someone who is opposite from who we are, that we seemingly have nothing in common with. Someone who is not from the same socioeconomic background as us, someone who does not think the same as we do politically or theologically, someone whose skin might be a different color or who might have an accent to their speaking. It makes us uncomfortable to think about sitting down at table with them, having them in our homes, or even sitting down in a public place to have a meal with them. Why? Granted, for many of us, we think about safety issues. Regardless of who it is, we think about, what if they come into our home and they take advantage of us? And so if we were to do that, we might go through the house afterwards and make sure nothing's been taken. Or what if they're a danger? What if they might be someone who is dangerous? We don't want to put ourselves or our families at risk. But maybe it's more personal than that. We think about, what would we talk about? How would we carry on a conversation with someone who is very different from us? Someone who believes differently than we do theologically. What if we were to invite someone to come and have lunch with us, and maybe they were Buddhist or Muslim? How would we talk about anything that would be similar because we believe differently? What if there was a language barrier? How would we have a conversation if neither of us speaks a language that we both can understand? What if their life has been very different from ours because of decisions they have made and choices we have made, and there's nothing in common in how we live our life? How would we have conversation? And so we think about those things. You probably heard on the news several years ago, 2016 as a matter of fact, about a woman whose name is Wanda Dinch. Anybody remember the name Wanda Dinch? You'll know the story when I mention it. She sent out a text to someone she thought she knew, inviting them to Thanksgiving dinner. I see some nods. You know the story now, don't you? And that text went to someone she did not know. It was a 16-year-old boy by the name of Jamal Hinton. Jamal was he was a senior in high school. And so on Thanksgiving Day, he decided he was going to take her up on her invitation to come have Thanksgiving dinner with her family. And boy, was she surprised when she opened the door. Not only did she not know Jamal, but there was a big difference in the two. Her family was your white family. Jamal was a black young man. But she welcomed Jamal into her home, and they had this wonderful Thanksgiving meal together. I read an article that was out in the middle of October of this year. For the seventh year, they are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving together. Not only did they form a friendship, they formed a family. By a mistaken invitation, but an invitation nonetheless, to come and to sit at table together. And in that sitting at table together, in all of their differences, they found a common bond. They're even talking about getting tattoos. I'd love to see that tattoo, wouldn't you? When we sit down at table together, when we're different from each other, we realize that there's more that we have in common than we think. Many scholars talk about the fact that when we come together with someone that is what we consider a misfit or broken, that we're uncomfortable because it reminds us of our brokenness. It reminds us of our brokenness. It reminds us that we too are people who have issues in our lives that we like to keep quiet and keep secret. It reminds us that we are people who grieve. It reminds us that we are people who have been hurt by others. It reminds us that we are people that maybe we have had to ask for help before from time to time, and so we have done that, but we're embarrassed by it. It reminds us that maybe we're not as important in society as we like to think we are, that we're just your average Joe or Jane. It levels the playing field when we sit down together, and we don't always like that. I've talked before how about there's something within us that kind of needs to have this feeling of feeling better than someone else. And I don't know why that is. But in the kingdom, there's no place for that. The table that Jesus invites us to levels that playing field for all of us. Because all of us come broken to that table. All of us come as sinners in need of God's grace. All of us come hungry for something that we've not been had filled by the things of this world. Something that only Jesus Christ himself can fill. And so, when we sit down with someone different from us, it reminds us of that. And that's hard. It reminds us that we all have basic needs. We all have the basic need of physical food, of being nourished physically. But it also reminds us that we all need community. That each of us is in need of companionship from others, whether they be like us or not like us. But all of us need companionship. And so the instruction is to invite. Go out and invite people that you would not normally invite to your dinner and sit down and break bread with them. And in the breaking of that bread, experience the presence of Christ. You do become friends. I've shared with you several stories before, and I won't repeat them, but several stories of people I know that open their homes and just kind of, I mentioned the family last week, that bring in the strays and have meals together. The couple in Chattanooga that just do the same thing. They invite people to come to their home, and they have a spaghetti dinner once every other week. with strangers and how those strangers have become friends from all walks of life and how they have formed community together. Because there in the midst of that gathering is Christ. Is Christ. And it doesn't matter what our differences are, we all need Christ, don't we? We all do. Next week, we're going to have an opportunity to sit down at the table with people we don't know. And some of you may be a little afraid about that. What are we going to talk about? We've actually talked about that in staff meeting the other day. And so we're going to have some starter questions on the table to help you. What do you enjoy doing? You know, what's something you enjoy doing in life? What's your favorite color? Simple questions to ask to begin conversation. But you're going to have an opportunity to sit down with some people you don't know as we've invited our friends from across the street at New Life Medicine. And I say friends because they have become friends for those of us that have been going across the street. The other day, one of them was sharing with us that he has graduated from 2 weeks to a month. And I had to catch myself because at first I was kind of sad. And I thought, oh, no, I won't see you as often. But I realized that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a step of progress for him. But I thought, I'm going to miss seeing him regularly. As regularly, because they have become friends. And then in December, you'll have an opportunity also to help with dinner church, if you like, which will be at New Life Medicine, so we'll be on their turf. And to, again, go and to sit at table with new friends, different from us, backgrounds different from us, but many who have gone across the street have discovered stories that are true to their families as well. Because once again, we're all broken in some way. So today, as we draw this series, Come Pull Up a Chair, to a close, I want you to think about who is Jesus sending you to invite to your table? Who in your community may be going without someone to experience Thanksgiving dinner with? Maybe do like this grandmother did and send a text to a number that you, maybe not even one you think you know, but to someone that just a random phone number and say, come have Thanksgiving dinner and see what happens. 7 years, folks, they're celebrating 7 years together over a misplaced text. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's a God thing. I think that's a God thing. Jesus is about surprises. And at this table of surprise, it will be like the table of the kingdom. Friends, we're going to be surprised who may be sitting at that table with us when we get there. But the kingdom doesn't have to be something in the future. Jesus is inviting us to build a kingdom table now, and then to invite to that table all people. Those who are different from us, those who are like us, those we would never want to be seen with, those that we want to be with all the time. But to bring to that table all, because we come to that table with Him. So come. Pull up a chair and sit a spell. You'll be surprised at what it will do for you. Let us pray. Jesus, we have been sitting with you at table for the past 7 weeks. And it has been a joy. But this table goes on. Even though we may be turning our attention to other things on Sunday morning, we all still need to come to a table. In our homes, in the community, and yes, here in this holy, sacred ground. We want our table to be a picture of the kingdom table. A table where people from all walks of life are welcome. A table where we don't sit just with our kind on one end and they sit with their kind on the other, but that we're all mixed and mingling together. Lord, we want to portray that picture of the joy that awaits us all. And not just portray it, but live it. This table of surprise. So Lord, let us go forth today and invite. To invite people that we might not think about inviting to join us over a meal and in the breaking of the bread. Realize you are present with us. Lord, thank you for your table and for pulling up a chair with us. Amen.